Right. Hello. Welcome, everybody, to yet another podcast. We're keeping you well informed about what's going on in the county. And today I have two very nice ladies with me, Ruth Kerr and Vanessa Jervis. We're going to have a discussion and get everybody informed about DIAC, diversity, inclusion, etc. Just before we start to chat, it is coming up International Women's Day, which I think Ruth is on the
The 8th of
9th,
March, 8th of March.
the 8th of March. And I just wanted to bring people's attention to three wonderful bridge ladies, people who have played bridge for as long as that, well, longer than me probably, who have unfortunately passed away. Agnes Baxter, Carol Kelly, and Sandra Penfold. They will be a very great loss to the bridge world. And are well in our thoughts. Right, Ruth, take us away, as they say. How are
Okay,
you?
well, good to be here today. I'm the current chair of the YCBA Diversity, Inclusion and Equality Committee. Our committee was set up in early 2024, and very much that was to support the YCBA's commitment to ensuring that all its members are treated respectfully and fairly.
Excellent. And what's your involvement, Vanessa?
So I sit as a member on the committee, and I also sit advising the management board as the woman's representative from the committee as well. And my background is a legal background, so I advise where possible on the legal aspects of what diversity, inclusion, and equality means for the YCBA and our membership at large.
Excellent. And are we working with the main body, as in the EBU, Ruth, or not?
We are indeed. So the EBU lead in this area is Debbie Sanford, and they were actually working on their policy in this area around the same time as us last year. And we work very closely together to make sure that our policies aligned. And certainly, we keep Debbie informed with the work we're doing here in Yorkshire. She's sort of received the information about what we're doing very positively. And she's certainly there to help us champion anything that we want to push through or push up to the EBU in this area.
So, Vanessa, how would this actually affect clubs? Because I think this is why we're chatting today. What do you think could happen within a club that might trigger an issue like this?
So, obviously, clubs don't often intentionally mean to discriminate or treat their members or visitors unfairly. But sometimes unintentional actions and behaviours and policies mean that individuals can be treated unfairly. This may mean excluding a member on a protected ground, like because of their sex, race, religion, sexual orientation. An individual could be harassed at the bridge table by another member or a visitor. Someone may be unfairly selected for teams or competitions based on the fact of their race or their sex, for example,
Or not selected.
or not selected. And a club could fail to consider making a reasonable adjustment, which I'll touch on a bit after the last reason. And club could fail to deal with a complaint from an individual because they say that they have been unfairly treated. So list isn't exclusive, but those are sort of the main areas. Just on reasonable adjustments, under the Equality Act, all clubs have an obligation as a service provider to make reasonable adjustments to allow people to become members or associates and to make sure that they can play. Reasonable adjustments can, it is a tricky area, but it could be adjusting something like a policy or a practice. So they can bring a guide dog, for example, or they could make a physical adjustment to allow a wheelchair. The main thing to bear in mind is that clubs have to only make adjustments that are reasonable. There is
rather than excluding.
Rather than excluding, that's right. Mm. And the YCBA do run grants to facilitate people making reasonable or clubs making reasonable adjustments. So if club finds themselves in this situation, please do get in touch and visit the website.
Absolutely. And I think if I could chip in there, I think the important thing is that clubs have sort of created an environment where people that feel they need a reasonable adjustment can come forward, and then that the club has a process that they can consider that. And obviously, in considering such an application, if they felt that they needed any advice, they could come to the committee for some advice.
And how would they know whether they needed advice? Because this is my thoughts. I know that people in clubs like to think, oh, well, we can sort our club out. But are we going to be somewhere where they can come for guidance from the body of the YCBA and then also from the national body?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I guess if they didn't feel they needed advice, they wouldn't come to us. But we are here for advice, and we have developed a web page, the Diversity, Inclusion, Equality web page on the YCBA website, and that has our contact details. And we're sort of continuing to develop that with more information. So we would welcome people coming to us if they do want advice, or sometimes to chat things out is helpful, isn't it?
I think so. And are we likely to sort of recommend, I don't know, courses or something like that that clubs can actually attend?
Yeah, well, certainly having sort of getting appropriate diversity training is that's a really important area, Leslie, in terms of making sure that organisations reduce the likelihood of unconscious bias and, foster engagement. So we are doing quite a lot of work at the moment to try and steer clubs in the direction of appropriate training.
Vanessa, how can you actually decide what is conscious and what is not conscious bias? Because this is something that, I often wonder about. How do you know that it's actually unconscious, and how do you differentiate?
So,
and how would you deal with that?
Yeah, it's really hard, Leslie. As I say, I think most people do not intend to, treat people unfairly or discriminate against individuals. However, we are all different, and we have all different values and views and experiences. And a lot of the way we behave is unconscious. And we may treat people and behave or choose people, select people, because of our own characteristics and our own prejudices. Everyone has prejudices. So I think
if you were approached by a club and they said, right, we've got this issue, and this person, let's say, because you're the, mm-hmm. let's do what if you're the female representative on the board, mm-hmm. so and so has come to us and said, I've not been selected to play for this team mm-hmm. because I'm a woman. How would you deal with that? How could you guide anybody? Because it's a bit of a he say, she said, isn't it?
So obviously, if someone makes that complaint, it's the burden of the club to prove that they actually didn't make that decision because that individual was a woman. So this comes back to policies, procedures, and justifying objective grounds upon which you, for example, make selection for a team or for membership. So really, when you're making decisions, you should look at objective criteria rather than individual criteria. So that's why policies, rules, looking at training and being aware of how you should be seen to make decisions is important.
So,
and
do
I
you...
that, sorry, having that complaints, having a proper complaints policy in the first place, so that that complaint is handled appropriately.
So that's a club's complaint policy. So how are we going to guide our clubs in the future? Because that's where we are at the moment. I would think that the proportion, I mean, I've had a quick troll around the websites, and there are some of the clubs are actually, I'm not saying advertising, but they are making people aware that they've got a policy in place. Are we in the future then going to be contracting clubs that don't have this and making our presence felt, if you like, and saying, can we help you?
I guess initially we've certainly circulated to clubs a model diversity, inclusion and equality policy that they can choose to use. In terms of complaints, historically, a lot of our policies and procedures have related to complaints that are sort of in relation to an individual's behaviour. And a lot of the clubs sort of use the sort of model constitution in that area. Complaints can be more difficult when they're not levelled directly as an individual, but maybe more organisationally. We're doing some work on that in relation to the YCBA as a whole and how we handle complaints or of maladministration. So as we finalise that, we can sort of share that with clubs and they could look at their own, revisit their own complaints procedures. Going back, I guess, to the training, we've developed a fact sheet which will include details of training. Obviously,
okay,
that will go out
Vanessa,
to clubs.
What were you going to say then? Because you were making us,
yeah,
you were waving at us.
I was just thinking as well, if a club receives a complaint, they can obviously pick the phone or email one of the members of the Diet Committee.
Are your email contacts on the website?
Yes, our email contacts are.
Good.
And we can offer them help or assistance in dealing with the complaint. I think the main thing is if they get a complaint or they feel they have a problem, the worst thing that can happen is that they do nothing. You know,
right.
Whether they feel they have an adequate process or whether they feel quite rightly out of their depth, because it's not an everyday thing, you know, just please get in contact with us and we're there to help.
Do you think we're being oversensitive on this or not, Ruth?
I don't think we're being oversensitive because obviously it's important for us to fulfil our legal obligations and bridge clubs as private members clubs, if they have more than 25 members, do have a legal obligation in this area. The other thing I think is important not to lose sight of is actually this, although it's important obviously to get the legal side of things right, actually there's a lots of positives from us doing work in this area. So by sort of fostering a more inclusive environment, you know, it gives you the potential to enhance innovation and decision making in clubs and also to improve membership growth and retention.
So for the future, are we actually going to recommend courses that clubs can go on? Are we, I mean, I know that we've all been on a course, the board of the YCBA,
yeah.
But I just wondered how we would progress because we've mentioned training.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just us that is involved in this.
Yeah.
It's a national situation. So what would you recommend?
So we're at the moment, we're sort of finalising some research into some potential courses, and they will be circulated to members alongside any support that the YCBA is able to give in that area.
I think that it's hopefully been a good little podcast that we've made people aware that this will obviously be going on our website. And prepare yourselves, ladies, because you may well, or gents, because there is more than one side to it all, that you will get contacted, and I think you should. And I have to say thank you very much for talking to us about it. You've put a lot of work in, and it's hopefully will be well received.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Lovely talking to you.
Thank you, Leslie.